Both bills passed in the middle of the night last week. The votes counted made the bills veto-proof. Once a bill gets 34 votes, the mayor can't override the veto. This made the mayor very angry. He held news conferences and took jabs at the bills. He pointed to how the city would be unsafe if the NYPD had independent oversight, or if it were easier for community members to sue the NYPD if they feel they were stopped for no good reason. In his zeal to protect the NYPD, structure as it is, he said what many call racist on John Gambling's WOR program on Friday.
Is this business, it's a couple of one newspaper and one news service, they just keep saying, oh, it's a disproportionate percentage of a particular ethnic group. That may be, but it's not a disproportionate percentage of those who witnesses and victims describe as committing the murder. In that case, incidentally, I think we disproportionately stop whites too much and minorities too little.
By the weekend, Bloomberg's efforts intensified. The mayor confirmed he'd use his private money against the re-election of council members who voted for the bill. This drew more outrage against the mayor. And then yesterday and again today, the beginning of re-election attacks were apparent. Flyers against the re-election of Jessica Lappin and Dan Gorodnick for city council were handed out on the Upper East Side yesterday. And today, Pat Lynch and the PBA handed out flyers criticizing council member Mark Weprin's support for the community safety bills.
I can't say I'm happy about it. Happy about this coordinated effort to try to attack me. However, I'm not concerned. I feel very strongly I voted in the interest of my constituents. I always do. I would never support legislation that would make my constituents 1 ounce less safe. I don't believe these bills make us less safe. As a matter of fact, I think long-term they make us safer.
Weprin says being attacked for his vote on the race profiling and inspector general bills won't make a difference to his constituency.
I don't think people understand. You know, the area they went to, for the record, is really actually just outside of my district. It's in Councilman Halloran's district. My district is 70% people of color. And time and time again, the complaints we get always seem to be from the Black, Latino, and South Asian community about being stopped and frisked illegally. And that's the problem. And the mayor, you know, doesn't seem to want to admit it's a problem and even, you know, makes terrible racially charged comments like whites are stopped too often and minorities aren't stopped enough. Obviously, that's ridiculous, baseless, and a complete exaggeration of the facts.
Jemani Williams, co-sponsor of the two Community Safety Act bills, says it sounds like Mayor Bloomberg is having a temper tantrum.
He's more concerned about his legacy than about making sure that we have good policing and we can do that while having safer streets. I'm not sure, there's no other reason I can come up with except legacy, because again, if you read the bill, we don't jeopardize police officers, we don't jeopardize good police work. The only thing we do is put teeth to a bill that he wrote. So perhaps he wrote that bill not wanting it to be true to begin with. So I don't know.
And what is the sticking point of the profiling bill?
I really think it just makes it seem like he was wrong about something and he never wants to be wrong about anything. There is no sticking point. It's narrowly tailored. It gets at profiling. It doesn't even stop the ability to stop and frisk people. It stops the ability to profile people. It makes that enforcement. No police officer can lose their home. No police officer can even be harmed by the judge. We put all these things in there, and unfortunately, because there was a chair that refused to have a hearing, the public didn't get to hear that. So what now they have on their side is the ability to put out mistruth a lot faster and more efficiently than we can put out truth. But what we have on our side is we have the ability to sit down with each individual council member and show them in the bill where exactly the lies are coming from. And we have a fact that we passed this with a veto-proof majority, so we're excited about
that. Last question. The 34th vote was sort of iffy. You guys didn't know whether or not that would actually come to pass, and then it did. So is that a person that the mayor will try to attack? What's your feeling?
Every person who voted there was no more important as the other one. We've been nervous and working methodically throughout this whole process, and there's no reason for us to stop anything that we were doing beforehand.
So you feel like the 34 votes will hold?
I feel confident that we'll be able to sustain the vote we took last Wednesday.
and the mayor's statistics about stop and frisk were refuted in the Daily News. It said when you include lesser offenses into statistics like weapon possession, larceny, pot possession, and criminal trespass, whites comprised 13.8% of all crime suspects in the city, meaning they were stopped too infrequently. City Controller and mayoral hopeful John Liu issued a statement about the Daily News analysis of stop and frisk data. Liu says Bloomberg's claim that whites are stopped too frequently is the latest sign that his unjust policy is unraveling. Liu says we look forward to Judge Shindlin's ruling in the stop and frisk suit and to the day when this civil rights violation ends once and for all. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.